Good morning, everyone. Today we're wrapping up, as Luke mentioned, our Belong series, and today we're thinking about serving others. And to get us into the zone, into the mind frame, I want you to think about the kind of serving that takes place in your home environment, whether currently or past, or maybe go back to when you were as a child. What kind of serving took place? In my context, my wife, Lisa, she's the creative mastermind in the kitchen preparing delicious food for us. Me, well, my hands are made for washing, right? Whereas the dishes, the cars, the dogs, the kids on rainy days, when they get all muddy. My son, he unpacks the dishwasher. And my daughter, well, her contribution is daily doses of commentary, life commentary, in fact, and spontaneous dancing. She thinks this is how I serve the family, and she does it so well. Now, to state the obvious, right, none of us do these things, serve in these ways to earn our spot in the family. We don't tell Evie, sweetheart, if you nail your comedy routine tonight, you can stay around for another year. We don't say that, right? That's not how family works. Membership into the family isn't works-based, performance-based. No. We'll all be evicted, right? But what we see, the reality is that because we're part of the family, we serve. Serving is what family members do. And when we all do our bit, in our context, our house runs more smoothly, especially when the dishes go away in the right spot as well. That's really helpful. But same can be said when it comes to church family, right? And in fact, today we're going to learn that serving others can actually have a profound impact on their faith and trust in Jesus. So if you go to the Bible, grab it, come with me, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. And here we're going to see that Paul, he looks at gifts, he looks at love, he looks at orderly worship, and it's all to provide us with this picture of serving others in love. And basically what we'll learn is that we ought to use what God has given us to serve others in love for the sake of their relationship for Jesus. And so starting at verse 12, what we see is that Paul is not trying to dazzle us with some spiritual firework display of all the incredible spiritual gifts out there, but in fact he's actually making a far more down-to-earth point. He says, serve others with what God has given you for their benefit. Have a look at verse 4 in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. He says, now there are many gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. The demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. That last line is key, isn't it? To produce what is beneficial. We serve others not to, boost our spiritual resume or for self-improvement or to say over morning tea, check out my serving, it was great, wasn't it? No, we serve others to bless, to build, to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. And so here at church, we teach, we encourage, we lead, we organize, we pray, coffee is made and enjoyed, we run tech, we hang out with the kids, we smile, we chat with people that are new, not because we get something out of it, although hopefully we enjoy those things, but mainly because we want to benefit others, which is why Paul uses that body illustration you might be familiar with in the second part of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, the eye cannot say to the head, I don't need you, and the head to the feet, I don't need you. Now, Paul's argument is that each part exists not for itself, but for the whole body. Now, if you've ever watched Monsters, Inc. with your kids or grandparents on a rainy day, even Mike Wazowski, right, who's basically one giant eye, he still needs feet, he still needs hand and a mouth. You don't see him just rolling down a hill as one big eye, right? And Paul drives his point home in verses 18 to 20. He says, but now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. And if they're all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. Many parts, one body. Diversity, yet united in Christ, who is the head of the body. Now, at this point, it could be easy for us to get lost and debate about, you know, which gifts are still active today. Why do we see some gifts in some churches and not others? And look, that could be an interesting, you know, rabbit hole for us to go down. But the main point that Paul is making is far simpler. Whatever God has given you, use it to serve others. The point is not the gift, rather it's the giver and the people whom we're called to serve. Now, contextually, that wouldn't have sat well for the church in Corinth because they loved status. They loved wow factor gifts and being impressive. And because of their pursuit of gifts, what we see that pride and division was strife in the church. And so what Paul's doing, he's seeking to untangle their misdirection of overemphasis, of over-spiritualizing gifts where they made it all about them. Basically, Paul's saying to them, if you want to talk about impressiveness, you want to be impressive, go and serve others for their benefit. That's impressive. And so today, if you leave today thinking, how can I use what God has given me to bless others, then you've nailed it. You've understood the passage. Serve others with what God has given you. But there's more to it than that, right? Because in chapter 13, Paul makes it very clear that serving without love is like Wi-Fi without internet. You know, lots of potential, zero real use. Or worse, you know, it's like decaf coffee. It looks the part, but it just has zero punch, right? Found that out this morning when I made my coffee. I was just like, why am I buzzing? It's decaf. Oh, great, you know. You know, I've tried serving, and maybe you've experienced this. I've tried serving with no love. It's shallow, right? It's exhausting. Can imagine it's like running a marathon in flip-flops, you know. And so look with me at 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, the end of chapter 12, verse 31, have a listen to what Paul says. But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. If I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, understanding, knowledge, faith, and giving to the poor, but do not have love, I'm nothing. I gain nothing. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? Blunt. You know, Paul's pretty good at just being blunt with us, right? But what Paul is getting at here is that he's pressing us past what we do to why we do it. You know, are we serving from a place of love? Are we serving others in love? Let's just pause and reflect on that for a moment. What have you experienced this like me? Where you've jumped into serving, right? Just because you can. Not because you might genuinely have a love for the people that you're serving. Now, I wondered, do we sometimes celebrate someone's ability more than whether their heart is actually in the right place? Just because someone is gifted, Paul says it doesn't automatically they should do it, right? Because as Paul says, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. I gain nothing. You know, love isn't the optional upgrade. It's not the sunroof in the car or the leather seats or the roof racks. No, it's the engine that powers our serving. Without love, our serving becomes noise and egocentric. Without love, our willingness to help can turn into frustration, duty, or inconsistent serving. Right? I'm sure we've all experienced that. And so this is where Paul, he helpfully unpacks how love behaves, if I can put it like that. And basically, the kind of love that Paul is talking about is a serving others kind of love, a love that moves towards others, even when it's inconvenient. Have a look how love behaves. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I'm sure we might be familiar with the list. He says, love is patient, kind, not envious, not proud. All the way through to the end, he says, love never fails. Love makes all the difference. Love is the beating heart of serving others. It's the pulse of true serving. Which naturally asks us to think, right, well, how do love and gifts actually work together? You know, what are we trying to achieve when we serve? Well, for that, Paul takes us to chapter 14. And here he zooms in on the church gathering. Hear what he says in verse 1. He says, Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. And notice the reason in verse 3 to 4. It says, but the person who prophesies speaks to people for edification, encouragement, and consolation. And it ends verse 4 with what? He who prophesies builds up the church. Now, putting aside for a moment our curiosity about prophecy, which we know from other parts of scriptures, it's a word-based ministry. What we see here is that we are to pursue love. That's our posture, our attitude, our heart, the principle in which drives our serving. Desire spiritual gifts, that's our practice, our actions, our contribution. You know, use what God has given us. Why? Well, the purpose is to build up the church. Now, why do you think Paul highlights prophecy over speaking in other languages? Well, it's got to do with intelligibility, right? Paul contrasts these two gifts not because, you know, one is more spiritually wow than the other, but it's because one is understood. And that would have cut to the heart of those in Corinth who were obsessed with spiritual gifts, spiritual status. And Paul knew this, right? And so he leans into this reality and he says to them in verse 12, right? So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in building up the church. Harness that zealousness for gifts and use it to excel in building up the church. Put your energy and zeal into serving others. Engage in others in ways that would help build them up in their faith and trust in Jesus so they would know Jesus better and more deeply, because that's what matters. And Paul himself reflects on this, right? And he tells them, you know, he himself is a language guru. He says he speaks in other languages more than all of them. And yet he says in verse 19, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding in order to teach others also than 10,000 words in another language. Is that right? In the church, I'd rather speak five words of understanding in order to teach others than 10,000 words in another language. Paul's basically saying, look, I've got the gifts, right, but I'd rather keep it simple than sound like a cryptic crossword puzzle. Now, imagine if I got up here and I started, you know, speaking my sermon in Finnish. You're like, wow, that's impressive, right? Our guest from Finland would say thank you. The rest of us, we would have no idea what's going on, right? How's that loving? How does it build up the church? See the principle at play here? We are to choose intelligibility and clarity over confusion. See how the principle of love drives Paul in how he seeks to use what God has given him to help build up the church. And Paul drives this point home a few verses later in verse 26, right? Verse 26 ends with this. All things must be done for edification. Now, edification, that word just has the sense of building, right? So at the end of the day, Paul wants every part of our gathering to be done for building people up, for building people up in their love and trust in Jesus. He wants our serving to build people up in their faith so that our church will grow and mature. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's a free-for-all and we just go and do everything and anything. No, Paul helpfully qualifies in verse 40. He says, everything must be done decently and in order. And that makes sense, right? Chaos doesn't build anyone up. In our own household, when chaos reigns, no one's feeling great. You know, like we're not being built up decently and in order. And so when you take a step back, right, and you look at the whole section, it becomes this beautiful, clear picture. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 says, serve others with what God has given you to benefit others. 1 Corinthians 13 says, serve others in love, because love actually matters. 1 Corinthians 14 says, serve others to build up the church. Three chapters, one message. Use what God has given you to serve others in love to build up the body of Christ. That's the heartbeat of Christian service. So what does that mean for us here at St. Mark's? Well, as Luke sort of alluded to, spoiler alert, you know, next Sunday is Next Step Sundays, and we'll unpack this in more detail, that practical application of serving. So think of kind of today like the trailer or the teaser before the main event. But let me leave you with this diagram. Have a look here. And there are three questions for us just you can chew over this week. The first one is this: what has God given me? Question number one. Secondly, what are the opportunities and the ministry needs here at St. Mark's? And thirdly, above all, how can I wrap my serving of others in love so that they will be built up? Now, today, if you're a Christian, then you're part of God's family. And the family needs you. Really important that you know this, right? That you're needed. You're part of the family. And so serve because you are part of the family. After all, that's what family members do, right? We serve. Now, in a couple of weeks, we've got carols. You know, there's opportunities, there's needs. Need for people to help with setup, decorations, helping out with various carnival games, building activity, props, ushering, praying for the event. You know, the list goes on, right? Well, what do you think? How could you maybe be involved in serving others in that event? And look, it may overlap with sort of opportunities and your competencies that you have, but it may not. And that's okay. It's also worth flagging too, right, that just because we have particular abilities, it also doesn't necessarily mean that we should or that we must serve in that ministry. Because we've got to keep thinking, okay, building up the body of Christ in love, okay, how am I serving in a particular space that could do that? I've got to help build up the body of Christ in love. That maybe actually might involve me stepping back and training someone up and getting them involved in the next generation up serving in that space. Or maybe we might conclude, what training and support do I need so that it can happen? So I can benefit those that are serving. But let me also add, right, that it's not just formal, upfront ministries that we need to think of when it comes to serving. It's the informal. You know, don't downplay how valuable your conversations are with one another over morning tea, where you can encourage someone in their faith in Jesus. As we know, serving isn't a Sunday thing. Serving is an all of life posture, isn't it? And so looking at the diagram, things may not perfectly line up with all the three areas of circles overlapping when it comes to serving. But if we have love, then we will invest in people, right? We'll want to see those around us built up in their faith. And so can I encourage you, lean into where God has placed you. This is your church family. So don't treat it like a spiritual Airbnb. You know, move in, commit, invest in the people around you. Use whatever God has given you to serve others in love to build up the body of Christ. For us here at 10 a.m., just imagine a church where every act of serving, big or small, formal, informal, seen, unseen, is done in love, focused completely on building up others' trust in Jesus. That's the kind of church Paul calls us to be. That's the kind of church Jesus died to serve, right? We follow Jesus who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let me ask you, how can you use what God has given you, not just your time and skill, but your heart? How can you use what God has given you in love to serve those around you, to help build them up in their walk with Jesus? Because when each of us serve in that Christ-like love, the whole body grows, the church stays healthy, and Jesus is honored amongst us. And so in a moment, as we head into our morning tea, I'll leave you with this thought. Have you ever thought that you sharing about God's work in your life, the past, this week, might actually be the thing that strengthens the doubter, steadies the weary, anchors the fellow believer in their storms? Today over morning tea, you might just be the person that God uses to build up someone here in their trust in Jesus. Isn't that cool? And so in love, let's seek to excel in building up the body of Christ, helping one another know Jesus and make Jesus known. Let's pray. Father, how glorious it is and humbling it is that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world, and that he is King over all, came to serve all, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Father, may this just move us. May this convict us of the love that you have for us, that Jesus came to serve us, to give us life, forgiveness. He did this in love so that we would know him and cherish him. Father, pray for us as a church that you would do a work in us, that you would continue to help us to see what you've given us, that we would use what you have given us so that in love we would serve and build up those around us, that we would find great joy to use what you've given us to build up the body of Christ, to help others grow and know and love Jesus more deeply. In his name we pray. Amen.